Today on Real Radio.
These are sailors on a ship. Do they have any connection with Jonah? No. Do they have any connection with the God of Israel? No. But because Jonah has sinned against God, now they have been incorporated into the problem. And people, when you and I live like that, that's what happens in our lives. We include people into our lives when we're walking outside of God's will, and it affects the world around us.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Jonah. Besides the part about the oversized fish, we all walk away from this account remembering the lessons learned about running from the will of God. Well, now we're in the middle of a study called Living in the Will of God. We're still in the first chapter, but it's the part where Jonah finally gets the picture and that there's only one way to solve the crisis he and the crewmen are in, which was brought on by Jonah himself. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Living in the Will of God.
Jesus says, let your light so shine, because behind us is a black world. Just stand there and glow for God, because the world is so dark. When we live for God, when we walk with God, we will glow. God will see to it that somehow we glow in their eyes and in their minds. You look at the stars. Those stars are always there. Did you know that? They're there 24 hours a day. They're always there. You can't see them unless the background is black. But they're always shining. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink and whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Christian, whatever we do, do to the glory of God. Jonah, what are you doing? Well, God will say, don't panic. Don't worry. It will be to the glory of God. It's just that Jonah makes it so hard on himself. John 14:27. Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back again. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going away, going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you might believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. That is the satanic system. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. I love what that tells us. Jesus says, listen, I love you. The Father loves me. We're in this together. I'm going back to heaven where I came from. And before I come back, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send you out into the world that the world may know. That the world might know. John 17:20. I do not pray for these only, Jesus says, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be as one, as the Father and I are one. He says that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, listen to this, I in them and you in me, that they may be made complete in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me, that the world may know. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, that implies difficulties, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. That's important. While there are unavoidable troubles. But listen, verses 12 to 13 teach us there are avoidable decisions, decisions that we can avoid. And that is, if we're not walking with God, if we're not leaning on God, we're going to make wrong decisions. And brother, do we know how to make wrong decisions? The funny thing is, most often, because we have so much pride, we'll stand so much behind the decision we make, even if it's wrong, that we'll defend it. We'll defend a house of cards because we built that house of cards. Isn't that funny? It says in verses 12 to 13, and Jonah said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. What a nut. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. My goodness. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Well, this is tremendous. Remember back in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jonah got a ship, he went down there and he paid the fare. Remember, when you and I are not walking with God, we will always pay the fare on our own. It's better to obey God and let God pay the fare. But when you and I are following our own will, we'll have to pay the dues. It's called reaping what we're sowing. So watch what happens here. When Jonah sins privately, it affects people publicly. These are sailors on a ship. Do they have any connection with Jonah? No. Do they have any connection with the God of Israel? No. But because Jonah has sinned against God, stupid, silly, crazy decisions, now they have been incorporated into the problem. And people, when you and I live like that, that's what happens in our lives. We include people into our lives when we're walking outside of God's will, and it affects the world around us. Well, you look at Martha Stewart. She's in such huge trouble. And look at all the people who have lost millions of dollars. Retirements are going away. They're vanishing. Because Martha Stewart was greedy and pursued a little bit more hundreds of thousands of dollars for her own pocketbook, did it apparently, illegally, and it could cost her her freedom. And for what? She cannot say, well, it's my problem. No, she's a public figure. A political leader cannot go and do what they do in secret and then come out of their office and say, well, it was my private life. That is insane. If that's true in the worldly community, how much true is it in the spiritual world of the believer? How we live privately affects those around us. And I'm wondering if those unbelievers would have known what was going on in Jonah's life. Remember when he went down to pay the fare? Can I have a ticket, please? And they issue him a ticket. Then he goes down the little plank there, you know, little gang plank thing. And they got the little, you know, the security stop. Jonah's got his bags. Excuse me. Did you pack your bags today? Yes, I did. Have your bags been in your custody the entire time? Yes, they have. Has anyone asked you to carry anything with you for you today? No. You have any sharp objects in your bag? No. Okay. But what if they would have asked them the next question? How's your walk with God? Can you imagine getting on an airline? Did you pack anything? Did anybody ask you to pack anything? Are you carrying anything that from somebody you don't know? And how's your walk with God today? I guarantee you, people would not get on the plane if somebody asked them that question. Why are you asking? But I mean, honestly, spiritually, wouldn't it be true today? How's your walk? Before you get on this plane, I want to know how your walk is. My goodness, I don't want to be sitting on an airplane and this guy next to me is Jonah. What's your name, Jonah? Ay, ay, ay. Get off the plane. Why? Because God could be dealing with him. But they can't ask. They didn't ask. And now they're right in the middle of it all. That's amazing to me. Jonah's going to pay the price for rebelling against God. Listen, how do we avoid bad decisions? You want to jot this down? It's very important. How do you and I avoid bad decisions? This is important. Proverbs 3, verses 4, 5, and 6. And so, to find favor and high esteem in the sight of man and God, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So trust, jot it down. To avoid bad decisions, I need to trust in the Lord. Number two, do not lean to your own understanding. Ooh, that's a hard one. Don't lean to your own understanding. In other words, God is saying, hey, Jack, you're not the authority on life, man. Consult me. Don't lean on your own thinking. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Seek God before you make the decision. Have you talked to God? Are you leaning on your own wisdom? Are you trusting in the Lord? And then it says, he shall direct your paths. Wow. If I'm trusting God, if I'm not leaning to my own devices, to my own thinking, to my worldly wisdom, and if I acknowledge God, that is, I invite him in, I seek him regarding the decision I need to make, he is going to direct my path. That's pretty liberating, people. That's pretty exciting. By the way, do you know what I just defined to you? Well, you Proverbs 3. Yes, but Matthew 6, 24. When Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That is the definition. To make the right decisions is to, number one, to deny myself. Why? Because already in our lives, it's true for all of us, we are legends in our own mind. We think we know what to do. And somewhere that disease hits us at about 13 years old. We're now the authority. Boy, are my parents stupid. And they're stupid till about, well, we're stupid in their eyes until they have kids. Thank God they'll have kids, though. Isn't it glorious? Ha ha! But what happened? This is not... Oh, isn't it wonderful? Well, deny yourself. Jesus says, take up your cross. Take up the things of the kingdom that concern God. Live for them. Follow me. So often I get out ahead and I ask God to follow me. Don't share this. And I don't know if I'm going to share it with any other service. I just came to my mind. So maybe God wants me to share it. Pretty scary. But we need to make sure that we always do the important things before we do the urgent things. The other day I was out on the construction site and I pulled up and I was stopping. I was out there in the dirt. I was in the dirt. And I was in my truck, and I looked, and I saw something. It was so nice. They put that really nice molding on the building. And I went, oh, man. I was all by myself. Thank God. I was all by myself. And I went, oh, man, that's beautiful. Wow. I want to see that closer. And I jumped out of my truck. You say, what's wrong with that? You should put a truck in park before you jump out of it. I'm going like this, and I look, something catches my peripheral vision. It's my truck going away. So I'm running. Have you ever tried to open the door of a truck that's moving? I got in there, put on the brake, put it in the park, and then I did what we all would do. What do you think that is? Yes, these people are so carnal on this side of the room. That's exactly what I did. I looked around to see if anybody saw me. I felt about that big. It was so embarrassing. Why? Because I put the urgent thing in front of the important thing. The urgent thing was, I need to see this closer. The important thing is, put the truck in park. And many times we'll do that in our own lives. I need to go do this thing. And God says, wait a minute, put your life in park before you get out. Stop, be still, know that I am God. That was a horrible thing. Don't say that to anybody. Second point this morning, verses 14 to 15, reactions to the storm. There's reactions to the storms of our lives. Living in the will of God will absolutely result in the reactions of the storms of our life. Therefore, verse 14 says, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray. Oh, you ought to mark that. These are a bunch of pagan, non-believing people. We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Actually, for this man's sin. And do not charge us with innocent blood. Well, they heard Jonah say, throw me overboard. They don't want to throw him overboard. They've got more integrity than Jonah does. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Boy, that's faith. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Quickly, my friend, we got to go through this quickly. Verse 14 teaches us that there's acts of conversion. I love this. Jonah's very desire to get away from Gentiles getting saved leads to the boat getting saved. Everybody in the boat. Remember last week? They threw their gods away. Silly gods. They don't work. Now they're calling out to the God of Jonah. And they're calling him Lord. And they're praying to him. Oh, watch what happens. The very people, Gentiles, that Jonah didn't want to see saved, got saved. And it's just beginning. He hasn't even gotten to Nineveh yet. God is moving. Poor Jonah. Must have been so disappointed. And so it says, therefore they cried out. The reality of God's existence led them to call out in desperation to God. That happens in people's lives all the time. When they come to the end of their rope and they call out to God, there are those foxhole, they're called foxhole conversions. You know what those are? That's not what this is. We'll see in a moment. But foxhole conversions are like this. Oh, God, please help me. Get me out of this jam. And then God gets you out of the jam. And that person never talks or walks with God at all. It was just a foxhole conversion, meaning it was no conversion at all. It's looking for a convenient God for the moment. But when all is well, there's no real faith. Not these people. They make a real act of conversion in their lives. The second thing is this. Reactions to the storm will lead us to immediate results. It says, verse 15, so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. And look what it says. The sea ceased from its raging. The word in Hebrew means this, that as much as a miracle that the storm was, there was equal miracle to the calmness, meaning the sea was more calm than it has ever been in the lives of anyone on board the ship. It was an unexplainable, miraculous calm. So people, watch this. The storm is raging. The ship is being tossed. They throw Jonah over. Jonah enters the water, and all of this stops. Would that have not absolutely freaked you out? They're all wet. Maybe the creaking of the boat is the only thing that remains. There's silence. It's a miracle. Think how many of us can confess that when Jesus Christ came into our lives, the storm ceased. I thought about this and putting this message together in my life. I tell you, I wound up breaking out into thanksgiving to God. I began to stop and think, now, God, how does this apply to my life? And the Lord laid on my heart, Jack, you had storms in your life. And then you came to me. Those storms led you to me. There's been storms since you've come to me. But I've been with you the whole time. Can you not confess, Jack, that there is, even in the midst of these current day storms, that there is a calm that passes all explanation? I have to give up and say yes. People, I got to tell you, and maybe I'm preaching to the choir right now. You already know what I'm talking about. But do we not have an amazing calm in the midst of life's storms? Because we trust him. It's not because our trust is so great. It's because he's worthy of our trust because he is so great. Just have enough faith, Jack. Faith. Just have enough faith. If you have enough faith, where's that in the Bible? If you just have enough faith, it's all going to be... Wait a minute. I put my little faith in a great big God. He's the one. It's the focus of my faith, not the magnitude of my faith. The man cries out to Jesus, out to God, and says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinful man. The man cries out to God and says, I believe, help my, what? Unbelief. Can you imagine God saying, too bad, you almost tipped the scale. I mean, you almost hit it and went ding, but you didn't. You don't have enough faith, sorry, I'm not going to talk to you. It's not like that. Remember when you cried out to Jesus the first time in your life? How he responded? Reasons for the storm, reactions to the storm, finally verses 16 to 17, and that is results of the storm. This is beautiful. Let this be an encouragement to us in our own lives. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. By the way, that word feared means that they were in reverential awe. It doesn't mean that they started biting their fingernails. The men were in reverential awe of the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the sea 3 days and three nights. Well, conversion leads to this. Worship. Acts of worship. This is beautiful. And we know that their conversion is true because of what follows. Listen, conversion. People, listen. If we have truly come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will what? Worship. People who do not worship God, I can only conclude, either don't know much of him or don't know him. But when you know him, you got to worship him. Do you know him like that? Do you worship him? First thing is that they feared the Lord. This is a word that is used for those who are converted to God. They were in reverential awe. Wow. They're probably sitting or standing in that boat with big smiles on their face. And the captain says, go get one of those little goats that are down in the hull that we're shipping to Spain. Because it says here that they made an offering. It's an animal offering. It's a sacrificial offering. No doubt they had heard of the God of the Hebrews, and he required innocent blood to atone for sin. Well, the third step is this. It's an act of invitation. They made vows. They made vows. That means they enacted promises. They swore an oath to God. They stood on the deck of that ship and they made a commitment to God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, elaborating on just one of the many lessons to be learned from the account of the runaway prophet, Jonah, and that is that there are gods aplenty, yet only one that is the true creator of all and who is in control of all the elements and in the affairs of men. It's a presentation called Living in the Will of God, a study taken from Jonah chapter 1 and verses 11 through 17. It's part of our teacher's series on the Old Testament narrative of Jonah, where we can learn some valuable lessons on the consequences of resisting the will of our Maker. We'll continue with this study on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, we hope that you've been truly benefiting from this verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament account of Jonah. In fact, we're making this 11-CD set available to you for your own personal review and study. Here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll be glad to send you this series, all of which you contribute goes toward the various costs associated with bringing to you this daily program, and it's all tax-deductible. Whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention the title, simply Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, we now have a new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us and send your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. And of course, any of this contact information that you may have missed can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.